broke something in me. It was a dad who's trying to be present with his sons, the man in his 70s who's dealing with anxiety. As a young adult who's trying to find victory and freedom in his life, there's a little boy named Beckett who apparently wanted to come up here last Sunday and hold the tile. All of us had something to lay down, and I want to remind you that we do that not just on Easter Sunday. We bring all of that to the foot of the cross. That's what we just sang. And it makes me say, wow. It makes me say, wow, every single time that somebody steps out and trusts God in that way. I mean, it just overwhelms me with wow. And then I said, wow, Julie and I, we were away this week. We went away Thursday night, and Julie and I and the boys, Thursday night, we came back last night. But I heard that the movie night was fantastic. I heard there were about 50 people at the movie, I heard just wonderful, wonderful things, and it made me say, wow, all over again. So what makes you say, wow? Now, I need your help with this. So this section right here, I need two of you just to shout out. What makes you say, wow? Don't make me call on people, John, I will. What makes you say, wow? Grandkids make you say, wow. Things that our bodies are able to overcome makes you say, wow. Shar, what you got? Testimonies make you say, wow. Me too. Let's go this section right here. I have high hopes. What is Josh pointing at Rachel for in the back row? Rachel makes you say, wow, Josh? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I told this story. Craig and Liz Gay, they sit right back there in the back during the 9 o'clock service. And so I was like, what makes you say wow? And Craig was like, well, she does, of course. And it spawned me telling a spontaneous story that I'm going to tell you. This is not in my notes. And when you hear this story, you will realize this is not in his notes. When we planted our church in West Michigan years ago, our very first Sunday, we stood up and we said, come as you are. Like, that's our invitation. Just come as you are. Come as you are to church on Sunday. And people did. Like, they said, well, what's the dress code? And we said, cover the essentials up. That's what we told them to do. Like, just cover up the important stuff. And people did. Well, that first Sunday, no kidding, there was a couple on the back row. I was preaching, and no kidding, they made out during the entire sermon. I mean, they were fully engulfed with one another. I mean, it was scary to the point where the next Sunday, we said, welcome to Compass Church. We want you to come as you are and no making out on the back row. Like, we literally said that in church. So I'm looking at you, Yoder, when I say that. So I was going somewhere with that. So Craig Gay was like scooching over other people. The guy that was sitting on the very, very back row back there today, I watched him. He looked right at his wife, and she was like, no, 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 not today. So we'll go right here. What makes you say wow? Greg, what makes you say wow? 69-inch muskie, being very specific in that. Joanne, what makes you say wow? Yeah, that's good. All right, this whole section over here, don't make me call on people, but I will. Kevin, what makes you say wow? Or not Kevin, what am I saying? Brian, what makes you say wow? If you want to go by Kevin today, you can go by Kevin. Beauty of creation, that's good. Carol, what makes you say wow? He took it away from you. All right, Chase, my son, what makes you say wow? I'm a horrible father. What makes you say wow? Great-grandchildren make you say, the sanctuary filling up. Yeah, everybody else happy for that? Makes you say wow. So, by the way, Chase, sorry to pick on you. Miles told me after service, he said, I texted Chase, because he was here for the 9 o'clock. He said, I texted Chase. I told him to count the number of times you say wow this morning, which now I'm a little self-conscious about that. So, Chase, keep track. What am I on right now? I don't know. So, what makes you say wow? A few weeks ago, I was scrolling on Facebook. I came across this picture right here, and it stopped me. Lionel Johnson, his wife Bobby, they watch online and through the through the YouTube channel. If you're watching today, we're glad you're with us. And they watch online, and he said, I've got you up on the 60-inch TV. He said, you're even bigger on the TV. Like, easy, buddy. And so I'm scrolling through Facebook, and Lionel posted those, Lionel Johnson's homemade buttermilk biscuits. And I said, wow. Like, I try to avoid the carbs. I would eat and destroy that whole pan of biscuits right there. I'll tell you right now. You give me a stick of butter and some honey, and those would disappear. Or some of you, you mentioned this, the sunset, the beauty of God's creation. This is right here in Hayward, the place we love, they say on WRLS. We say wow to that. Or if you've ever been to Inger Park in Duluth, you know there's a tower. I've never been up the tower because I kind of like ground level, but the view from Inger Park is this right here. It'll make you say wow. Like, if that doesn't make you say wow, you need to check your pulse. There's something about that that makes you say wow. Now, here's what else I know. I know that over time, we lose our sense of wow. It just happens. We can become so accustomed to certain things that we lose our sense of wow. So a few years ago, I was in Colorado Springs. I was standing in front of a hotel in Colorado Springs, and I was looking out, and this is what I got to see, Pike's Peak. If that doesn't make you say wow, then just take a deep breath. And I was amazed at this. I mean, I was overwhelmed with it. I stood there drinking my orange juice, and I was like, this is amazing. And I turned to the guy who was, like, trimming the hedges, and I said, can you imagine waking up every day and seeing that? Like, that's majestic. That's unreal. That's unbelievable. And the guy literally looked at me and said, well, when you see it as much as I see it, I guess it doesn't impress you very much anymore. I wanted to grab this guy by the neck. Like, I was like, really? It makes me say, wow. Or at the time that I took a friend of mine, a Global Partners missionary friend of mine. He was from Oklahoma. And I thought, what do you give a guy who's from Oklahoma, he's a single guy, where do you take him to dinner? I took him to one of these Brazilian steakhouses where they shave the meat off the skewers and you put the green light up and they just keep bringing you meat, like meat upon meat upon meat and more meat, and it's not cheap, I want you to know. They keep bringing the meat to the table. And here's this single guy. He's not single anymore. He went and found a beautiful bride. But he's eating this steak, and he's pushing it all over his plate. Like he's eating Spam instead of steak, or tofu instead of steak. And I finally said to him, I was like, Jacob, you got to help me, man. Like, is the steak okay? Like, you're from Oklahoma. I thought people from Oklahoma like steak. And he said, you know, when you eat steak as much as I do, I guess it takes a lot to impress you. It's like, you bum, I'm paying $40 for this meal. Like, I'd have taken you out for a burger if I'd have known you're that hard to impress. Or, think about the day you were married. This was the day Julie and I were married. Remember these glasses back in the day? Julie and I will celebrate 25 years this June. Those glasses, my glasses on that day, they were so big you could use them as a coaster for a coffee cup. I mean, they were huge. And Julie looked beautiful. My glasses, on the other hand, not so nice. And that was at Community Wesleyan Church in Washington, Michigan, north side of Detroit, Michigan. And so I talk to couples sometimes, and they'll say, you know, we just fell out of love. I guess we didn't really love each other at all. I guess we just kind of got cold in our relationship. You know what happened? You lost your wow. You lost your wow. And oh, by the way, this can happen in a church. It can. That was last Sunday. And I don't ever want to lose the wow of that moment. Do you want to know what made me say wow a whole lot last Sunday? I was standing right there in the back, right over here. The kids were up front, and it's always fun when you have kids on the platform. There's a lady, she's got to be in her 80s. I don't want to ask her how old she is. She sits right there. She was just there at the 9 o'clock service. Her name is Myrtle Pino. Pino? Pino. I don't know. We're going to go with Pino today until she corrects me. And she was sitting right there. And the kids were up front. And she did the motions with the kids. I leaned over to Emily Caves and I said, Emily, when I'm in my 80s, I want to be her. Because there was something about that. She wasn't thinking, oh, I don't know if I like this newfangled thing. No, it was just this. There was something about that that made me say, wow. And you can lose your wow. Churches can lose their wows. Churches can hear good music for so long that they just kind of go on autopilot. Churches can be around people for so long that they kind of get annoyed with one another more than blessed by one another. Churches can see people be generous for so long that they kind of just lose their sense of wonder and what's happening in their midst. Churches can become so accustomed to God at work, to people like coming forward with broken tiles, that they can become a little skeptical and they can say, you know, I don't know if that's really for real. I've seen that person go up there before and there they go again. And I guess it isn't really that big of a deal. We can lose our wow. I've been praying a lot lately, friends, that as a church, we would regain our wow. That we would regain our wow. I'm reminded that in the book of Acts, it says this, Acts chapter 2. Let's read it together. Everyone was filled with... Now, if you have a thesaurus, that's a tough word to say in front of a group of people. If you have a thesaurus and you look up the word awe, you will see synonyms. And one of the words is wow. Everyone was filled with wow. Now, you may wonder why I am filibustering this morning about wow. Here's why. For the next 3 weeks, all we're going to talk about is regaining our wow. And these are simple truths. These truths are so simple that Lisa's teaching them down the hall. Some of you, you're going to hear these and you're going to go on autopilot, and I'm asking you to stay with me. Wow, God sent his son. Wow, God changed my life. And wow, Christ lives in me. So today, let's read this verse, John 3, verse 16, just one verse. That I want us to hear this again and let the wow of it wash over us today. Let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is one of the most familiar verses in all of the Bible. There are few verses that are more familiar than this one, John 3, 16. But I want you to realize today that even with its familiarity, the truth of this is real. It seems like everywhere you looked in the 1980s and the early 90s, you would see John 3, 16. You would see this guy right here. They called him Rainbow Man. Remember him? He would hold the sign up behind home plate, said John 3, 16. Truth be told, this guy's serving like 30 years in prison for a whole different thing. So you don't really want to follow Rainbow Man, but you do want to follow the verse that he was talking about. Or this guy. This guy's probably higher character than Rainbow Man, Tim Tebow. He painted John 3:16 on the eye black of his face when Oklahoma played Florida and won the national championship. And 94 million people Googled John 3:16. Or Rainbow Man Tebow, or you go to California and you go to this little burger place called In-N-Out Burger and you pick up the cup, and on the bottom of the cup, it says John 3, 16. We are so familiar with this verse that we just think of it as bumper stickers and tattoos and little passive things. John 3, 16, it's just what it is. Hear it again. Hear it again. Close your eyes and hear it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Anne Graham Lotz says this is the North Star of the Bible. This is what we fix our eyes on. This is what we follow toward. If you get lost and you have this verse, you can find your way home. If you have found your way home already and you go to this verse, you'll be able to point to others so they can find their way home. Let's walk through this together. It starts with God. For God. For God. God is the one who is looking. God is the one who is pursuing. God is the one that was on a mission. He saw the mess of the world, and God says, I have to get personally involved. It was God that did this. It was God that got involved. It was God that said, I'm going to go looking for man. It was God walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and Adam is hiding. He's off in the bushes, and he's hiding from God. And God says, Adam, where are you? God came looking for you. God. God is looking for you today. You say, no, I'm looking for God. Well, good news. He's looking for you. He's on an all-out pursuit for you. He's looking for you. You, dead in your brokenness. Dead in your sins, dead in everything wrong in your life, God is looking for you. God is looking for people with lying lips and broken hearts and shattered dreams. And God is looking for people that are overcome with anger and rage and headaches and heartaches and addiction. God is looking for you. God so loved. I love this. God so loved. That's a lot of love. God so loved. The word love has been watered down. The word love that we use here is the same word when we say, well, God loved the world. We also use the word love and we say, well, I love Diet Coke and I love chocolate. I'm looking at you, Linda Garrick, and I love the forest and I love the Vikings. Not very many in this room do, but I know you do. I love Jell-O and I love kids and I love peanut butter and I love shrimp pasta and I love Wisconsin and I love pellet ice. That's my wife. And I love my family and I love butter and I love the Packers and I love my mattress and I love this. And God loves you, but it's a different kind of love. It's a different kind of love. It's a love that isn't based at all on what you bring to the table. It's a love where God looks at you and loves you for who you are in that moment. He loves you. Now, God is a just God, no doubt, but the very essence of God is love, that God looks at us and he extends love, a righteous, holy kind of love. God loves, and he so loved that he would send his son. Human love is object-oriented. I like this because it tastes good. God's love is based on himself. God's love is not based on what he sees in the worth of someone. It's based on his own character. God loves because that's who God is. The most profound thought you'll ever think is this thought: Jesus loves me. And if that doesn't make you pause and at least say, wow, then maybe you need to hear it again. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels song. And almost every time that this love is talked about in the Bible, it's tethered to a cross. You want to know how much God loves you? That's how much. You want to know how vast his love is? You want to know what so loved looks like? Look at a cross and realize that that was for you. God so loved. God so loved, this one is tough. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. you are all part of the world. In fact, if you don't believe me, take your hand, blow on it. Okay? If you just felt a breath, you are alive. You are part of the world. If you did not feel a breath, exit the building promptly and call 911. If you have breath in your lungs, God so loved the world, that's you. God so loved the world, that's you. You say, well, I don't know if I like the idea of God loving the world. I want God to love people who look like me, think like me, talk like me, act like me, believe like me, carry on like me. God says, no, here's the deal. My love is for the whole world. Not just Americans, but people of every race, tribe, and tongue. Not just white, middle-class people, but every ethnicity and every kind of person, every race and creed. And my love is for the world, for every person, for every human. God so loved the world. We say, well, what about, God can't love the Republicans that much. No, God loved the world, not just the Republicans, not just the Democrats. God so loved the world, all people. People who are nothing like you, God loves. People that you would never want to go tent camping with, God loves. People that you would never want to share a two-person tent with, God loves. God so loved the world that he did something. He gave his one and only son. If you like the King James, it says the only begotten son. That's what God gives. God looks at the mess of the world of brokenness and headache and heartache, and he sends his only son to the cross, because that's how much God loved, that he gave his only son. I read an article this week about an astronaut who walked on the moon. They interviewed him, and they said, when you were on the moon and you were looking back at Earth, what went through your mind? He said, well, it was really weird, but he said, I had one thought that I couldn't get out of my mind. He said, I was looking back at Earth, and I was re-entering the craft that's going to take me off of the moon, and he said, it hit me in that moment that this spacecraft was bid on by someone, a government project, and most likely, this government project went to the lowest bidder, and he said, it hit me that my full reliance on getting back to Earth was based on the lowest bid in a government contract. And he said, and suddenly I got anxious. Could you imagine being anxious and being on the moon? Good grief. He said, I got anxious. I got frightened because I realized I put my hands in the hands of the lowest bidder. Listen, friends, when God wanted to fix the world, he didn't go to the lowest bidder. He paid the highest price. When God wanted to save your life and mine, he didn't say, let's go to the lowest bidder. He got personally involved, and he sent his son, his only son. He sent his only son for people that just are piles of brokenness in their life. He sent his only son for people who said, I can't find my way out. He sent his only son for people who are full of headaches and heartaches and difficulty in relationships that are broken. He sent his one and only son. His one and only son. Now, we have three sons, Julie and I do. Chase is our oldest, and then we have Miles. And then we have Jack. We prayed for sons. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, you're going to try for a girl? I was like, it's a little late now, but we prayed for sons. And some of you know, we had a hard time having kids. We really did. We had a miscarriage in there. We had other things. And we prayed for sons. I couldn't imagine offering up my son for this reason. I couldn't imagine saying, Chase, right there. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine saying, Miles, you haven't been getting along with your brother lately. You're the one. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. When I spend time with my sons, it makes me say, wow. When I hear Jack the other morning says to me, Dad, do you want breakfast in bed? Like, who doesn't, you know? He brings me an omelet and a drink, and I'm like, it just makes me say, wow. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And maybe we've heard this for so long it doesn't even faze us, but a human being went to a cross. Human being went to a cross and had blood splattered all over that cross for your sin and for mine. God gave his very best. God gave his very best. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Oh, I like this. That whoever believes in him, whoever is an amazing word. This means that anyone is one act of courageous surrender away from a whole new life. This means that the guy that's in jail today for the most egregious things in our world is one act of courageous surrender away from a whole new life. This means that the one who can't kick that habit is one act away of courageous surrender from a whole new life. This means that the one that's got so much brokenness in their life that they don't know what to do with it is one act of saying, God, I give it all to you, away from a whole new life. And that ought to make us say, wow. That ought to make us say, wow. Because listen, salvation is offered to whoever. God is not picky. In fact, he picked me. That just shows you. He's not picky. God will invite and take whoever. To a Samaritan woman at the well, he says, whoever drinks of this water will have life. Revelation 21, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him drink freely of the waters of life. Whoever means whoever. It means the faithful and the faithless and the fearful and the fearless. It means people from Fiji and Finland and France and people who think that Philippines is spelled with an F. Whoever means whoever. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him, that's what it takes. You say, what does it mean to believe in him? It means you put your full weight on him. I put my arm around a young man last Sunday. I forget which service it was. I said, tell me what you're telling God. He had brought his broken life and he was holding it. And he said, I told God, I want to put my full weight on him. I want to trust him completely. Whoever believes in him, puts their full weight on him. Listen, friends, whoever does that will not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever brings all of the brokenness of their life to God, all of the bits and pieces, all of the stuff, whoever brings all of that to God, and sets it at the foot of the cross and lays it down. Whoever does that has a whole new life, eternal life. A life that doesn't end with this life, but a life that goes on for the life to come. Shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. You may wonder, what's with all the tiles? I got an email on Monday of this week. The person said to me, Chad, I was at Easter, and it was a wonderful service, they said. They said, the more you talked about brokenness, the more I thought about the brokenness in my own life. And they said, Chad, I have a pile of brokenness in my life that if you were to stack it, it would reach the ceiling. That's how broken my life is. And he said, I sat there on Sunday and I didn't move during that final song, because I have a hard time believing that God can handle all of that. I replied to my friend, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, no matter how much brokenness you may have in your life or what brand of brokenness you came into this room carrying, you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. God can handle your brokenness. I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would. Eleven years ago today, my mother passed away. And as I thought about this date some time ago, my mind raced to Sunday mornings at Spring Street Wesleyan Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And my mom would stand up front and she would tell a simple little story like this. And she would say, today, if you want to trust him, you can raise your hand. And I would raise my hand almost every Sunday. And I think my mom would want you to know that the greatest thing you can do is trust Christ with your life. Just to depend fully on him. And to never grow tired of that or weary of that. Just to say, God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you sent your son. Thank you that whoever believes in you won't perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus, today, I thank you. I thank you that you invite anyone who would come to the foot of the cross. We bring our brokenness to you today. And we pray, God, that we would never lose our sense of wow in that. So we love you. Today, if there's anyone here that hasn't ever trusted Christ in that way, I invite you in this moment just to say, God, today I put my full weight on you. I trust you completely. May it be so. Amen. And amen. Would you listen as the girls sing?
Are the children.